We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Leave, but they got to plunder the Egyptians before they left. When God told them to leave, he said, now make sure everybody goes to their neighbors, their Egyptians, and gets gold and silver. Why? Because he had a plan for it later on for his temple and for God's house, because God deserves a good house. How many think God's got a good house here? Amen. But it's just amazing how, you know, those that oppress you, God's like, they'll take care of you later. Don't worry about it. So we're going to continue to move here, but we're going to start in Exodus 13. Okay, Exodus 13, 17 and 18 says, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. What does that mean? That means there was a shortcut, but it had to go through the land of the Philistines. Okay, he didn't lead them there. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Let's jump to verse 20 through 22. It says, so they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. So as to go by day and night, he did not take the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from the people. So do you understand this? What it's saying is, as God was leading them out, he was literally leading them out. He didn't just say go. He was literally leading the way. He was, he sent an angel. He was there through a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. What did that do? We're going to get into a lot of things, because I almost just gave you like two or three points right there. So I'm a little trigger happy this morning, okay? Okay, but what I'll tell you is, again, so at this point, the Israelites have experienced God's protection through the plagues that fell on the Egyptians. Now, when those plagues happened, we remember reading that not only did they fall on the Egyptians, it was a testament to God's power that it never touched his people of Israel. So when the Egyptians were going through these crazy plagues, they would look across and see that God's people weren't even touched. And so they experienced God's protection through the plagues, and have experienced abundance as God blessed them with many riches from the Egyptian people exiting Egypt, not to mention their freedom from slavery, right? So God has begun the rescue mission is what we're seeing here. And they had already learned and experienced much about God, but what more did they learn by the fire by night on their trip out of Egypt? Are you ready for this? Number one, the Israelites learned that God sees the big picture. God, he sees the big picture. Because this is interesting, in the very first scripture I read to you in 17, it says, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. This was an opportunity where they could have gone a different direction that would have saved them a lot of time, probably a lot of agony in their own eyes, right? You're talking about a main street that has already, been paved, so to speak, or this wilderness, this road less traveled. Can you get the picture here? So if the people know where they're supposed to be going, they don't understand why they're going this way. Have you ever felt that? God, I thought you wanted me here. Why are we going this way? God sees the big picture. Because God knows something you don't know. And God knew the mindsets he was dealing with. He knew that people have short memories when they're in stressful situations. Do you see what I'm saying? If they would face a battle quickly after being rescued, they may run back to the problem rather than persevering for their freedom. So if they had faced the Philistines and the Philistines rose up against them as they were coming through town, that it would have been such a short-term memory loss, so to speak, where they had forgotten all the things that God just did for them to get them out. They would say, I don't want to die. Let me just go be a slave again. In your life, maybe you just keep having this idea that that's too risky. I don't want to die. I'll just stay a slave to this. Stepping out for God, that's too risky. Maybe I'll just stay right here in my own bondage. See, God knows people. And he knows the mindsets that he's dealing with the people. And he's saying, it doesn't matter that I just did all this for them. If they experience that, that's going to be too much. And so I can't take them the short way that they'd prefer, because it would be it wouldn't be to their benefit. Are you following me? God sees the big picture, yet we fight him on it all the time. We fight him that God, are you sure you know what you're doing? Are you sure you know where I'm going? Do you remember my prayers? God knows. He sees the big picture. He chose to take them the long way, the harder terrain for their own good. Have you ever complained to God about something? Almost as if he must not see or know what you do. God, this is a bad plan. I'm not God, but I got eyes and this doesn't look good. I mean, there's clearly a nice path here. And you know how many millions of us are coming out? There's an easy road here. You're taking us down this path? It's a wilderness. I'm going to get pricked. I'm going to get hurt. And then you end up in a fetal position somewhere because God must not know, right? Maybe it's because let me see what I'm even writing here. The point is this. Let's remember that God knows more than us. Can we all agree on that point? God knows more than us, and he sees the big picture, and he may be protecting us from something, maybe even our own disposition, maybe even our own way of thinking. Maybe it's the us that he knows deep down inside, the us that no one else knows. You know about it, he knows about it, but no one else knows about it. You have this perception like nothing bothers you, but you still sleep with a teddy bear and a nightlight. You just call it the TV. I just like to listen to it. No, it's because you're scared of your own thoughts at night. I'm just going to keep moving. God sees the big picture and he knows our weakness. He knows what we can handle and what we can't handle. And that's why the Bible says that he'll never give us more than we can handle or bear. Why? Because God knows how he created us and he knows that we've got greater guts than we think we do. He knows that we've got the ability to do things bigger and better than we think we can, but he's not going to allow our own mindsets to get in the way. And so he was saying, hey, I see the big picture. We're going to go this direction, okay? Yeah, it's for your own good. And what was the next thing the Israelites learned? Number two, God is committed to your success. God is committed to your success. And look what it says still in the same verse. God did not lead them, by the way, the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. When we reread this verse, it reminds me just how committed God is to our success. And what does that mean? Not of our own plans, but of the things God has called us to do. When God calls us to do something, when he intends something to happen, when he desires something for us and we begin to walk in that direction, God is not going to let you fail. He's committed to your success so much to the point that he will totally bring you the hard way to make sure it happens than to bring you the easier way so that you'd fold. He wants the things that he's put in your heart, the things that he's called you to, he wants to see that fulfilled. He wants to see the success of that. Why? Because it's for his glory. He created you for his glory. The reason you breathe is to give testament and testimony to him. The reason that you still are here is because you have something else to do. And it's not for you. It's not about building your own sandcastle. It's not about you being able to store up or stock up something here. The fact of the matter is, Julie and I just walked through Graceland 2 days ago. All that Elvis Presley had, and we're looking around here going, you know, he had a couch that was literally from this step to that step, custom made for his house, for all of his friends. No one sits on it anymore. All the stuff he had accrued, all the stuff he kept, now people just walk through it like a museum. Man, it's not about what we can stockpile. It's not about what we can have. It's not about the things that we're just trying to, you know, I look at the situation and I just go, God, I just want to be a success in your eyes. If I can be successful in your eyes and leave something, you know, as Julie and I stood right where Martin Luther King was assassinated, Martin Luther King Jr., and we're sitting here, and whenever I stand where great men fell, it always makes me think, I never know when my day will come, but I can choose what I'll be remembered for. And I just think I'm such amazing men of faith, like Martin Luther King Jr. They were willing to go to whatever end to do the thing God called them to do. What end are you willing to go for the sake of God, for his glory and his testimony, and a testimony for his goodness? Amen. And so I've learned in life that success is rarely found in the shortcut, nor is it ever the way I've had it planned in my mind. I'm not smart enough to have a plan that's better than God's. And if things aren't coming to happen the way that I planned, it's probably because God knows something I don't know, and he's protecting me from the things I don't know. That's important to know. Because when I understand, God, you protect me from even the things that I don't know, the vulnerabilities that I don't see, you're working and actively protecting me from my vulnerable points. Even if it's me, your vulnerabilities oftentimes are between your ears. The things you think, the thoughts you don't take captive, they're oftentimes the things that hold you back. So when is the last time you had to remind yourself that God is for you and created you to succeed? Sometimes we have so many sidebar conversations with ourselves, like, can you do it? I think I can. Can you do it? I just may. You can do it. Do you think? God has created you to succeed. He wants the best out of your life, but the fact is we need to remind ourselves that he's for us. Because it doesn't matter how for yourself you are if you're going in a direction that God's not for. Number three, what else did the Israelites learn? Number three, your success is more important than your comfort. But Pastor, that makes me uncomfortable. God is more, he cares more about you succeeding than your comfort. And that's not to say he doesn't care about your comfort. But, you know, one thing that I, when I talk with military people, it's always about the mission. It's always about the mission. And I think, man, God is about the mission. He doesn't forget the man, just like our military will never leave a man behind. Amen. God's not so about the mission that he forgets about you, but he's so about the mission that he will work around you to get it done. He won't even let you be the problem. The military would not allow somebody to be a problem to keep them from the mission. So sometimes God's just got to put you in the back seat and tape you up and get in the driver's wheel. You know what? You're a hazard to yourself, and you're a hazard to this mission, and you're a hazard to what's going on. You just sit there for a minute. People go, I don't like that, Chad. That makes me uncomfortable. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because God cares more about your success than your comfort. And that's something that I think about all the time. I'm like, man, this isn't going the way I thought, man. You know, I'll talk with Julie. I'll be like, oh, man, this is really weighing on me. And this is really, and it's not about my comfort. It's about is God. You know, I was talking with Rick Godwin this past week, and he said, Chad, I don't fear death. He said, I fear that I won't live to my potential. And I just thought, what are you talking about, man? Look what you've done for God. You're a great general of the faith. And he said, I fear that I'm not going to live to the potential that God intended me to live. See, we can't have the mindset we're just trying to get through the pearly gates. I want to get there and hear, well, you made it. That was ugly, but you made it. Pat yourself on the back. I don't have much to say, so move on. That was good. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You did the thing that I intended for you to do. You know, some of them didn't think you had it in you, but I knew your guts. I'd put it in you. I knew you could do it. Well done. That's what I want to hear. Man. Yeah, you made it. No, well done. Well done. Your success is more important than your comfort. So get comfortable being uncomfortable. So God led the people by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Another version says they went up out of Egypt ready for battle. How many think you would have been ready for battle if you just left the people that were enslaving you and plundered them while you were at it? You're like, what's up? Man, God was so with them. But the thing is, not only were they leaving slavery, again, I go back to the point that these people had already been oppressed for so long, they were just looking for downhill. They didn't want to walk uphill anymore. And so the minute that they turn around and start going through the wilderness, how many think that might have ruffled some feathers? That might have created some issues. Can't you imagine some of the whiners in the group? We all know someone, we all know someone who, no matter what is going on, they're going to bring it to a negative place. Just keep looking straight. Even coming out of slavery, I can hear them now. But Moses, it would be easier to go this way. That has already got a main street running through it. Do we have to go through the wilderness? I mean, that way's scary. They're already frustrated. They're already upset, and they just came out. You know, and Moses is like, SMH. What? Moses, shake my head, slap my head, smack my head. That's what God said. God cares more about our success than our comfort. Get back in line. I can see Moses just like, seriously? You're holding an armful of gold and you're complaining? Sorry. Yet there will be people that do that. God didn't make us as fragile as we think. We can handle some stuff. God will allow us to bend but not break. He will allow us to go through some stuff if he knows it will inevitably get us to the place of success. God guards us from what we do not know. God will even guard us from ourselves, from our own emotions. Yeah? Another question, when was the last time you realized God had protected you from something you didn't know could have hurt you? You know, on the other side, you're like, oh. You know, even to the point where, you know, you find yourself, now I'm not saying procrastination is a reason to bless God. But do you ever find yourself, you're rushing and you get hung up at a red light and you go around the corner and there's this huge accident that you would have been in if you didn't get in that red light? Little things like that, and you're just like, whew, I'm glad I didn't blow that red light. Little things like, what else, what has God protected you from that later on you realize at the time you couldn't see? These are good questions. They're good things to think about because God, he wants you to succeed and he's going to work on your behalf, even though sometimes it feels like it's not on your behalf. Anyone? Maybe it's just me. What else? The Israelites also learned, number four, that God doesn't call you without leading you. God doesn't call you to a place where he's not leading you, where he's not in front of you, where he's not making a way for you. Do you understand that? Verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. God always prepares the way. God is already moving ahead of you, preparing the place that he's called you, your place he's calling you to, the people he wants you to speak to, the thing he wants you to do. He is already preparing a way for you. Just keep following his leadings. Just keep following. God, this feels uncomfortable to me. I feel like I'm walking through the wilderness right now. It would have been way easier just to say, nah, gonna stay here. It would have been easier, but God, I'm following you, so I know you must be preparing the way. I really don't want to talk to that person because you know I don't like to talk. I don't speak good. You know I don't like to do that thing, but you have to be going ahead of me if you're calling me there. And because I know you're going ahead of me, I'm going to do the thing that feels uncomfortable for the sake of the success that you've called me to see. And it's not for me to see. It's for me to see that you get the glory. Right? So God is already preparing the way. God is already moving ahead of you. Remember, God had even told Moses back in chapter 8 that he would lead them out. Look what it says. If we jump back to Exodus 3, verse 8, it says, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land in a good, spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. To bring them up out. I have come to bring them. God came down to lead them out. That's what Jesus did. He came down to lead us out of our own sin, of our own transgression. He says, no. Look, this is the new way we're to live. This is how we're supposed to do it. I'm going to come down to help you understand what you are to do. There, you know, I don't have these in my notes, but something that just blows my mind is this concept that, look, everything goes to the cross, but only some things go through the cross changed. Some things go through the cross unchanged, and some things are abolished at the cross. They don't go through the cross. Do you see what I'm saying? So God sent Jesus down to help us understand that. So when it comes to things, when you don't see things spoken of at all in the New Testament, it means they went through unchanged. So what does that mean? Someone goes, I don't see tithing in the New Testament. Actually, it's there a couple times, but the fact that it's not talked much about means it goes through unchanged. Well, what about the things that are abolished? Well, if we're not supposed to do it anymore, then the apostles or Jesus himself had to tell us it changed. Like natural circumcision was abolished and changed to circumcision of the hearts. Amen? Amen. All the fellas like, amen. So check it out. So it was very clearly specified. And so now this is the way to live. So we have to know either Jesus told us, or if it's unspoken, it continued through, or the apostles had to tell us. Amen? You say it's confusing. It's not really that confusing. Did it go through? Was it abolished? Or was it done? Are you following me? I didn't have that on my notes. That's all come back from memory. Thank you, Bible College. Okay. So what else did the Israelites learn? Number five, God enables you to see what others cannot. How about that for a superpower? God enables you to see what others cannot. And then verse 21, and by night, a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and night. What does that mean? It meant that he also gave them a new freedom to walk in because they could walk during day or night. They weren't stuck doing what everyone else had to do. They weren't stuck camping out every night because they had no way to see. If they wanted to continue moving, God was with them. Everyone else, when you know, we look at Pharaoh and his army, they had to stop and camp at night. These guys didn't. Why? Because God had given them a way to see that others could not. God had given them a pillar of fire to lead them wherever they went, whenever they went. If they wanted to make up time, they could, because God gave them the ability to see what others couldn't. I thought that was pretty good. So when others could not move at night, they could continue to move forward with confidence. God gives you a greater freedom to walk in. He enables you to see the things, discern the things, and possess wisdom in these times that others are not seeking. God has given us his book. He's given us wisdom. He's given us the ability to understand things. When you get into the word and you start to go, wait a minute, no, this is the way that we're supposed to be doing it. Why don't others know this? Because they're not seeking it. It's not that it's not there. It's not that it's not available. It's just when we seek God, we begin to understand things others don't understand. And that doesn't mean we become like all this, like, I know things that you don't understand. You just wouldn't understand. No, they can read the book too. God can give them discernment. God can give them all these things. But when we believe God's word, when we're following God, he gives us the ability to know things that others don't know. Not that they couldn't know, but that they don't know. Okay, you got that one. In the next chapter, we see that God wants to deal with Israel's problem with Egypt once and for all. It's awesome. He tells Moses to have them double back and camp near the Red Sea. Oh, here come the whiners. But Moses, we just walked this way. We've got to go back. They're all upset because now they're doubling back. They're headed back the direction they just came. And then people are going, does this leader even know where we're going? We already saw that rock. I don't get it. I vote for a new leader. They raise their hand. Their hand starts becoming leprous. Leprosy starts again. Oh, never mind. Never mind. No. What is going on with this leader? He has no clue where he's going. Have you ever felt like, what is going on with this leader? Hopefully you don't say yes, because I'm standing up here right now. That'd be kind of awkward. But the fact of the matter is, you don't always know what God's called the leader to do. So shut your trap. That felt so good. I'm preaching and I'm therapy. All of it happened at the same time. I can just hear him now complaining. They've got to double back and camp near the Red Sea. Don't you think this is a vulnerable place? Looks pretty vulnerable to me. Why would God want to do that? Have you ever heard of bait? You ever see a movie or a cartoon where, like, they're trying to get the bad guys, so they just kind of, like, hang out one of the good guys, and he's like, I don't think this is a good idea. Well, that's kind of what's happening. God is like, hey, actually, let's bring them back and hang them near the water as bait to bring Pharaoh and his people out, because I want to deal with this problem. That's what I read. When I read this, I'm like, God, you really use your people as bait? I mean, I know you're God, and you can do whatever you want, but really? That's pretty crazy to me. He was going to show his power and rid any doubts of his people. We watch God harden Pharaoh's heart, and Pharaoh rounds up his army and goes after the Israelites. And when they make it to where God's people are camping, the Israelites begin to panic a little bit. Huge armies coming up, and they're sitting here camping out at the river, the Red Sea, and, you know, like, they look up and they see the army coming. I told you, Moses, this was a bad idea! I'm right! Ha! I'm gonna die! No! They're getting all frustrated. They're getting upset. They don't understand it. But God is like, no, we're dealing with this once and for all, because guess what? Wherever I send you, Pharaoh's eventually gonna come after you. Let's just deal with this now. Sometimes you don't like how vulnerable you feel, but God just wants to deal with the problem now so it doesn't happen 10 years from now. Can we just deal with this thing once and for all? I don't want it to hold you back your whole life. I don't want it to be in the back of your head your whole life. I want you to be victorious over this thing. And so, know what? I'm going to let you get in a very vulnerable place and feel very uncomfortable so that we can deal with this. People want to overcome things in their life, but they don't want to be vulnerable. That's why they're still dealing with it 30 years later. Exodus 14, shall we? Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Amen? The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. This is funny though, righty? We're going to get to this, but you only need to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. You only need to be still. Moses, tell them to get up. Okay, continuing. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. Let's jump to 14:19. Here we go. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Are you getting this? What a campfire story. Have you ever been to a campfire where the fire starts to move around you? Were you high? they're like, what are we on? No, it's moving. I'm not moving, it's moving. The Israelites learned, number six, God already has a plan. He already has an answer for tomorrow's problem. You need to get this one. God already has an answer for tomorrow's problem. Do you hear me? The thing that you're about to deal with tomorrow, God already knows it's coming down the pipe, and he already has a plan. He has an answer for you. It may put you in a vulnerable situation. You may not love it, but it's setting you up for success. That's the God that we serve. The day Moses led the people out of Egypt, God had a plan. For this very moment, his plan was going to free his people from the chance of being brought back into slavery. God's word tells us that God lives outside of time. Do you understand that? He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. Are you hearing me? And so the fact is he lives outside of time. It also tells us he knows the beginning to the end. God already knows the problems you will be facing in your future, and he already has a plan to rescue you. The question is whether you're close enough to him to hear his plan. I'm going to just let that lay. Exodus 14:19-22. Again, the angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel's army withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Even when Pharaoh's army was closing in on the Israelites, God stopped them in their tracks. So you need to understand, just get this picture. They're camped out by the water. They have nowhere to go this way. The army's coming this way. They feel completely trapped. And God just shifts around and he creates such an amazing sign of power between them. The fire is too hot to get near. It's too dark to even see. So this fire is bringing light to the people that are on this side that God is caring for. And the cloud moves around the fire and completely blocks out the light so that the people on the other side can't even see enough to move. Well, God, I don't see how you can do it. You don't need to know how God's going to do it. God, I have no clue. I'm in a bad place. We're in a tough spot. I don't see how this is going to happen. I don't need to know how it's going to happen. I just want to make sure I'm still with you. Because God, if I'm still with you, you already have a plan. You already have a way for this to go where it's going to be favorable for me because I'm with you. Okay. God's rescue plan requires something, though. Number 7, the Israelites learned God's answer for your problem requires your participation. God's answer for your problem requires your participation. When I read this, I kind of laughed because I know what it's like to be that leader that, you know, you're trying so hard to get across people, it's going to be okay. And you're just trying in your own might to tell, you know, like any leader, no matter where you are, you're just trying to keep everything. Everyone be calm, calm, calm. Everything's going to be okay, okay, okay. Just stand still, still, still. And God's like, don't stand still. You need to participate here. You've got something to do here. Look, I'm going to fight on your behalf. I'm going to rescue you, but you have to do something. Continuing, let's look at 14 through 16. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still, still, still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide it so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. What? We have to do something? Yes, you have to do something. God is going to fight for you, but there's something that you have to do. And so literally all these people go from like complaining to all of a sudden standing up and they've got to do something. And now Moses is like, okay, well, let me just blowing on the staff. He knows this thing has already dropped him, been a snake. He knows this thing is, you know, turned river to blood and like the sea to blood. He's seen this thing doing it. He's like, all right, God, here we go. You know, I don't know if he had a rock star personality in him somewhere hidden there. You know, we didn't start the fire. So anyway, so he throws that thing up. But this is what's amazing is you go on to read the rest of the story. You come to realize that God kept the fire and the pillar all night long behind them to protect them. People think the story went like this. Whoosh. And it departed. It said it took all night for God to use the east wind to blow the water back to create walls. All night. Could you imagine? He's like, someone bring me a coffee. Yeah, I need some assistance. Someone hold my right arm. It took all night for God to do the thing. Why? I don't know. He's God. He's still doing it. We go, well, God, I thought you could, and we could, and it would. God's like, I'm still doing it. What's your problem? Some people are so... Oh, man. I'm just going to go there. Some people, you are not patient enough to let God do the thing that he's trying to do in your life. You're complaining about sitting on the riverside, but what you don't even realize is he is holding off those that are trying to attack you while he's preparing the way for you, and you're too busy complaining. God already has a plan. He's got a way to rescue you. But he wants your participation in it. And he doesn't mean just being the whiner. He wants you to understand, look, there's a part for you to play. God's got a part for you. But you got to have your eyes open to pay attention when it's your turn. Remember, he's the author. writing his story, and we have a chapter. We've got a part to play in the thing that he's doing. I don't want to be remembered as the guy in the fetal position with my teddy bear just complaining. I want to get up and do the thing God's called me to do. Is anyone getting anything out of this? God's rescue plan requires some action and participation. Understand that God will only do what we cannot do, which means if we want better, we must start with the things we can do. If you want a better tomorrow, start doing what you can do today, because God's not going to do what you can do. He's only going to do what you can't do. I go back to when Moses said, just stand still and watch God fight for you. And yes, God is fighting for you, but the way that that God quickly was like, no, you've got something to do here. I believe so many Christians, they're just standing still waiting for God to fix everything, but God is expecting them to do what they can do. And when they do what they can do, then God will do what he's supposed to do. But they just sit, you have people sitting for years thinking God's still I'm still waiting on the Lord. And God's like, well, you had a part to play. And I can't move until you move. It's your turn. Do what you can do, and God is going to do what only he can do. Have you been asking God to do that thing? What have you been asking God to do that really you know you should begin doing your part now? You've been praying for something for a long time. You know, I was talking to somebody a while back, and they were praying for a new job. And I asked how many applications they filled out, and they said nothing. None yet. And I said, well, God's not going to magically make an application show up at your door that says you're already pre-approved for this job. God will bring you your job, but you've got to actively be searching for a job, not just waiting for someone to give you a call randomly or bump into somebody at a Starbucks. Why are you paying for Starbucks without a job anyway? Let's have this conversation somewhere else. I'm just playing. Little lighthearted nature, but honestly, God wants your participation. He expects you to do something. He's not going to do what you can do. He will only do what you can't do. So you must begin doing your part, amen? I know that if you want God to act on your behalf, it must start with you choosing to have a relationship with him. That's one thing I do know. Would you bow your head and close your eyes?
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.